And make sure that there's a lot of other information in the bulletin that you'll need. In fact, I need my Bible while we're talking about it. Heike, you want to grab my Bible down there in the front row there? And so make sure, like, there's this, we're going to start a new children's program in about 2 weeks for the ages 5 through 9. So if you have not seen Debbie Lindsay, please see her downstairs after the service so you can participate, both your children, and we also need some helpers as well. All right. Today I'm going to talk about the subject of balance. And it's really funny. You know, tiny things actually control our balance. What I mean by balance is our physiological balance. There's, for all of us, there's like fluid, you know, in our ears. And that's the way God designed it. Because what happens is when I move my head, for instance, like this, or you move your head, the fluid in our ears shifts back and forth. And what happens with this fluid is it runs over these tiny little hairs that are in our ears. And when the hairs are touched by the fluid, it creates electrical signals to the brain and enables the brain to adjust your motion and so that everything is stable within you, so that you remain in balance. And so slight changes to those kinds of things can create terrible imbalance. It's amazing how tiny these things are. You know, a few years ago, I remember I woke up one morning and I got up out of bed, and as soon as I sat up, my head was just like spinning around like for about 5 to 10 seconds. And I was like, whoa, you know, what's that? And then it suddenly slowed down, it ceased. And but then for the next few weeks, every time that I go from a lying down prostrate position to sitting up, or standing up, again, my head would just, you know, but it was like, you know, it was wild. And I didn't know what was going on. So I went to the doctor finally, and he said, well, have you had a cold at all recently? And I remembered a couple of weeks before that this weird symptoms was going on, that I'd had a really slight cold. And he said, well, what it is that some extra additional fluid got into your ears and is causing you this kind of, this kind of spinning, and it's just supposed to take some kind of high-powered decongestion to dry it up, and within a week or two, it was pretty much gone. But it's amazing how just a little change can throw us completely off balance. It's also true when you think about those old, I think we've seen them in chemistry, those little weight balances, you know, where you have these two little pans that are on kind of a little thing in the middle, and you put different weights on them, and then you get, you know, to be able to judge the exact amount of weight. And they're very sensitive to additional amounts of weight. They'll shift one way or the other. And why am I talking about that? It's because in life, we also have a balance in life that's very sensitive to small changes. Small changes in our lifestyle or in what happens to us can make big difference. Can make a big difference in the way in our own balance. It's like having extra fluid, you know, in our ears or extra weight on a weight balance. It's especially true in an increasingly busy society. There's more demands, and it's hard to find a proper balance in life where you really feel centered. You know, we're all aware of what I'd call the extremes of people. In other words, people sometimes go to extremes as a way from a balance in life. For instance, a couple of well-known extremes is a person who is a workaholic, so that they all that they do, and so they're not really balanced. They're good at maybe at their job, but at the rest of life, they're not so good. It's because they are not balanced properly. Or in the reverse of a workaholic is a lazy person. You know, a person just doesn't take any initiative and so forth, and it's the same. They're not balanced in life. Or people who are obsessive compulsive. Those are people that everything has to be in a specific order. And I'm not just talking about, you know, order is a good thing, but these people are a bit crazed with order. In other words, it's got to be exactly this way and so forth. And if it's not, you know, you get thrown for a loop. Again, that's a little bit of an imbalance, so to speak. And I remember, for instance, following law school, talking about balance, I was interviewing for various positions, and I went to one law firm where I was interviewing with the different partners, and I came to the end of the day, and I was interviewing with the senior partner, and I've shared the story before, And I noticed that he had a picture of his family on the desk, and I noticed it looked like where we live, where my family lived. And I said, oh, I recognize that area. That's such an area. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, that's exactly where it is. That's where I used to live with my family when I was married. And all of a sudden, when he said that, it was like it was as if I had a vision of here is a guy who probably put in 14 to 16 hours a day, was very successful at what he did, but at what cost? The cost was he had lost his family. And it was at that moment that I decided, no, thank you. This is not the kind of life that I really want to live, because my life, I want to have a life that's somewhat balanced. I'm also thankful that I did not get married to an obsessive compulsive person, because if I did, honestly, I would drive them completely crazy. And anybody that's ever seen my desk, or that's kind of the way, or my car, which is even worse, I can tell you some really humorous stories. In fact, I have to tell you this one story because I can see Larry laughing in the back. But this was a number of years ago, and Larry had decided to borrow my car. I guess they needed a car for a period of time, and so he anyway he took my car. And he decided he wanted to get the car washed and so forth. And he took it up to the carpool, and so they took it in, and they said, after finishing cleaning, they said, wow, what happened to that car? And it was because it was my car. That's just the way I live. It's usually kind of trashed. I'm sorry. I don't mean to like brag about being messy, but the point is that this is, again, thankfully I'm not married to an obsessive compulsive person, because they're not balanced. Now I got to say I'm not particularly balanced in that area either, but whatever. But being balanced is very individualistic, and each person has to find their own balance in life. And balance in life produces three things for people. It produces peace, it produces satisfaction, and it produces fulfillment. That's what balance produces. And the first question that I have to ask everybody, I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hands in response, is, are you at peace in your life? Are you satisfied? Are you fulfilled? And if you're not, then I would say something is not in balance. And the second question is this. Is once you've achieved balance in your life, how do you maintain it? Now, I want us to look at a couple of scriptures here quickly. One is from Psalm 37 about how to achieve balance. And I'm just going to read from a different translation, Psalm 37. It says this, "The steps of a righteous person are ordered by the Lord." I know it says a little bit different on the screen. "The steps of a righteous person are ordered by the Lord." And then in Matthew chapter 6, this is what Yeshua says. He says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Now, I want you to consider God's creation. In other words, what we see in all of, in all of the earth and all of the world, and what we actually don't see. Now, I believe personally that God did create the heavens and the earth. The earth, as we know, revolves around the sun. And the earth stays in its orbit around the sun by two mutually contradictory forces. One is a centrifugal force, which is the earth spinning around the sun, and it causes this kind of motion, it spins out, it has force to the outside. And then the gravitational force, which keeps objects closer to each other. Now, if the earth suddenly slowed down, if the centrifugal force slowed down, the earth would plummet into the sun. And if the earth sped up, then it would shoot out into space. But you see, God put the solar system and the universe into balance so that things were in proper balance. Mankind has physiological balance. That's called the fluid in the ear. And so I would just say this, that if God aligned life in general for all of life's existence, then can't he also align our lives in a specific sense and to keep our lives in proper balance no matter what we're doing? The fact is that one cannot find real balance in life until God is the center of your life. That's called ordering life. He orders our lives. It's like the planets revolving around the sun. Without the Lord being the center, it's not possible. Now you can say, well, wait a minute. But I know atheists whose lives seem like they're, in good balance and so forth. And my challenge to those people is this, is that people like that seem fulfilled and probably are, and seem to be at peace and probably also are, but the test of true balance in life is when circumstances suddenly turn to the negative, when things suddenly get shaken, when our world, so to speak, gets shaken. For instance, An individual comes down with a serious ailment, or there's an impending death of that person or somebody in the family, or they go through a tragedy. And suddenly, when these things happen to those individuals who seem like they're in balance, all of a sudden, the false balance is peeled away. The cover is peeled away. But when God is the center, then what we see is like what the psalmist says in Psalm 23, a very well-known passage of Scripture. It says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." If God is the center, then we should be able to say, like the Apostle Paul says in Philippians, where he says, "For I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstances." That's what happens when God is the center. It doesn't mean that we're not shaken by things, of course, when difficult things happen. But what happens is, for those people where God is the center, when difficult situations arise, they're able to get back to that center and find the proper balance, because the Lord is in control of their lives. The first step in finding balance in one's life is that the Lord must be the center. What does that mean? What does that mean to be in the center? What it means is that you don't just believe. A lot of people believe in God. That doesn't mean that he's the center. The key is allowing him to direct and order the steps of our lives. That's what means that he's really the center. Take Abraham, for instance, the Torah portion that was read and spoken about today. The scripture makes it clear in Abraham's life that he didn't just believe. His life was directed by God. Sometimes God caused abrupt changes in his life that would actually shake anyone, including going to a new country, including requiring the sacrifice of his only son. And God's ways often go against the grain of normal society. But in the end of the portion, this is what it says about Abraham, which is what Bruce reflected upon a few minutes ago. At the end of the portion, at his death, it says this about Abraham, that he died at a good old age, an old man full of years. You see, that says a lot about somebody. He was full of years. He died at a ripe old age, as the scripture says. Abraham had no regrets. He was satisfied with life because his life was in proper balance. You see, making God the center, or making him first into our lives, means relinquishing control over our lives. And it's scary. It's scary because it suddenly becomes not what I want to achieve in life or what I want to do in life, but rather it's what does God want? It's not that I'm the judge about making decisions in my life. It's rather that God is the judge. Well, then we say to ourselves, well, how do we know? How do we know what to do? How do we know what God is asking us to do? Because that's always a question that everybody always has. Well, you know, it's amazing. Because it begins with the book, first of all. In the Torah, there is all sorts of things that align us with God. Let me give you quick examples that we all know about. For instance, the Torah tells us when to work and when to rest. It tells us how to spend our money, how to save, and how to give. And it's very simple. We're not to have any debt, we're to save for our grandchildren, and we're to give 10% to the Lord. That's the way finances are supposed to work in God's kingdom. The Torah tells us to get married for most of us, and then to stay together. It tells us to be part of a community and serve together, like Bruce was talking about a little bit earlier. It tells us how to be careful, how we speak to other people. In other words, it says that we're to encourage others and not cut them down. We're to be thankful and not to complain. See, these are all ways that enable us to be in a right place with the Lord, where God himself is the center. You say, well, this is what you say. Well, say, what if you say that God is the center? In other words, you say to yourself, but Jamie, God is the center of my life, but life doesn't seem to be in balance for me. In other words, I don't seem to be having satisfaction. I'm not at peace. You know what my response is? They don't mean to be mean. God is not really the center of your life. That's what it really means. You may think he is, but he isn't. Here's a major revelation, I think, for many people. And so hold on to your hats here if you have them on. Men should have them on, by the way. And the revelation is this. Balance in life is not dependent upon other people or upon circumstances. I'm going to say that again. Balance in life does not depend upon other people or upon circumstances. Now, I'm not saying that those things don't matter, because God wants, he desires healthy and happy relationships, and he certainly wants good things for us. There's no question about that. But it's always easy to point to another person as the reason for why you're not happy in life. Or, if only I had this thing, I would be satisfied and fulfilled. If only I had a little bit more money, or a better job, or more education, or whatever it is. But it's not true. You say, that if I just had those things, I'd find balance. But you know what? It's just not true. All of these things matter. And God may want to, very well, may want to change your situation. But first, he wants to change us. This is what Yeshua says in Matthew chapter 7 about this very topic. This is what he says. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. If your life is not balanced, folks, you need to ask the Lord to shine his light on you, and as he shows you, you're to make changes. It's like I said, it's very easy to say, well, it's because of that person in my life, or this one, you know, rebellious children, or I had a bad relationship with my father growing up, or, you know, my spouse doesn't love me anymore, and all these things, which are all important issues, okay? I'm not trying to minimize those things, but it has nothing to do with balance. What has to do with balance is the Lord being the center, and when he is, you can find it. I want to close with two stories. Close with one story about two men. Here's the story. Two men. And it's from the Torah portion. Yeah, we see we're so wealthy here that we have the heat going and the air conditioning going at the same time. So people don't need to give anymore. It's just great, you know. So thank God. Just kind of kidding here. But anyway, the story about these two men is this. Number one, the first story is about a person whose life was balanced, and the second story is about one who is not. In last week's portion, we have the story about Abraham, about his own balance in life. And one way to know about whether a person is balanced in life is how they respond to unexpected situations that suddenly arise. That's one way to know how balanced a person is. Because if they go completely bonkers, then they're probably not real well balanced. Maybe not even mentally, but that's a different story. But let's turn to Genesis chapter 18 and let's look at how does Abraham respond to a completely unexpected situation. Genesis 18:1. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. And Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. And when he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. And he said, "If I found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." And then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to his servant who hurried to prepare it. And he then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and sat these before them. While they ate, they stood near the tree. Now, this is an unexpected situation. Because not only is it three strangers showing up to Abraham's tent, but it's three divine figures. Two angels and the Lord are showing up. That's quite unexpected. I'm sure everybody would feel a bit wowed if that happened to you and me, and so forth. But notice what Abraham's response was. In verse 2, it says that he hurried to do something. In verse 6, he hurried and told his wife and told her to be quick to prepare the bread for the people. Then in verse 7 it says, he ran and he told the servant to hurry to prepare the food for the people who had come there, the men that had come there. What it says about Abraham was that, as the scripture says in the New Testament, that we are to be ready in season and out of season. An unexpected situation arose, but Abraham responded with great grace and hospitality and generosity to his visitors on that day. And as I said, it had turned out that the strangers happened to be two angels and the Lord. Now, I want to contrast that with this other story in the next chapter of Genesis, Genesis 19, about Lot, which I'm just going to tell you about. Because the same two angels who visited Abraham visit Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah a few days later. And the scripture says that when they come to his house, Lot prepares a meal. But then the angels say, look, you've got to leave immediately because God's judgment is ready to fall upon this city. The angel said to him, you've got to hurry and move right away. But the scripture says that Lot hesitated. The angel said to him, look, you've got to flee to the mountains to escape. And Lot urged them to allow him to go to another town. He was afraid of going into the mountains. The angel said, look, you've got to get out now. And he still kind of held back. And then the Lord can't do anything until Lot leaves the town. Then, as they're all leaving, Lot's wife looks back in longing to the old life, and boom, she turns into a pillar of salt. And then Lot's sorry story ends up where he's up in the mountains after all, in some cave, and his daughters end up getting him drunk, have relations with him, and they end up having his children and so forth. It was kind of bizarre. Now, what's the story here about this situation? Lot is actually not a bad guy. He really isn't that bad of a guy. He definitely believed in God, but his life was not balanced, not even close. He was not ready when the unexpected arose in his life, and he responded in a wildly bizarre manner. Abraham's life was balanced because when something unexpected happened, he was able to respond with great grace. Now, what's also interesting about this story, as I get ready to close, is this. Both stories involve food. Isn't that interesting? Because, and in fact, both men fed their guests, as the case may be. But the rabbis comment on these two passages because they say that an Abraham showed far greater generosity and hospitality than Lot because Abraham hurried to do everything, whereas Lot just kind of took his time and so on and so forth. And so what I'd like to say is that food, believe it or not, is often the test of spirituality. Really. Food is often the test of spirituality. How do we act around food? And you know what? The test for us is, what is it? Oneg. Yes, sir. The oneg test. Now, I think there's four different ways that people respond to oneg here. Okay? Number one is there's the not showing up response. In other words, they come to the service, but then you leave. No oneg. You know what's interesting about that? The scripture says at Mount Sinai, when Moses and the elders went up to meet with the Lord, it says that they saw God and they ate and drank. Part of worshiping is eating together. It's eating together because the presence of the Lord is there. So if you don't show up, you're missing out on half of what God wants to do. Then the number two response is, oh, I love coming to Oneg, but I don't actually bring anything to Oneg. I just eat. And you know what we call those people? Mooches. It's real simple. The question is what happened if the angel and the Lord showed up and Abraham just, they said, oh, you know, sorry about that. You know, and they just kind of stood around not knowing what to do. Abraham maybe is eating himself, doesn't offer any food to them. Not too good. So not good. Number three, we bring food, but the kinds of things that we bring are a can of beans, which you give to the Oneg people and stuff, expecting them. You imagine what it would have been like if Abraham had handed the can of beans to the angels. They didn't even have can openers back then. So how could they have even opened it? It would have been a disaster. Or we also have lovely frozen vegetables as Abraham hands the bag of peas to the Lord and the angels and says, here, oh, yummy, let me rip open and just eat the frozen vegetables. Of course, nothing was frozen back then, but you get the idea. Or even the better case is the frozen chicken. Or even, you know, what people do is you bring a whole chicken, but What do you expect people to do? It's just to be sitting, the whole chicken to be sitting on the oneg people, and people just rip it off as they come toward the oneg line? What happens to that chicken? Amazingly, something supernatural happens in the oneg room because the chicken that you gave as a whole chicken somehow is sliced into pieces. I wonder who did that. Maybe it was the angels who got bummed out by Lot who came here and they cut the chicken for you. Or maybe it's people who are serving this congregation who shouldn't be doing all the work, you know, and maybe you need to be doing it. So in other words, when you part of Oneg, part of it is we bring food, right, to share. We sit down, we bring food, but then we bring it fully prepared. People come in here with watermelons, you know, not cut up. I actually went, you know, I wanted to bring a watermelon in here, but it's out of season. That would have been interesting. But so we bring it, we bring fully prepared. My question to you as we close today is this. Is your life in balance or not? When these things happen, even stuff like I've just described, honestly, life's not really in balance. The Lord wants your life to be in balance. It can be when the Lord is the center of your life. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you for the examples that are shown in the scriptures, Lord, of what it means to have a life that's ordered, to have a life that's in balance, to have a life that's full of peace and satisfaction and fulfillment. And Lord, we know that we can have that in you, O God. And Father, we just want to be right with you, Lord. We want you to be the center of our lives. Lord, we know that Yeshua came, Lord, so that, Father, our lives can be transformed and changed, and we can have the power of the Spirit within us that enables us to live the kind of lives that you expect us to live, Lord. I just pray for anybody in here, Lord, who's never said yes to you, who's never said yes to Yeshua, made him Lord of your life. This is the moment in time to say, yes, I want my life to be centered in God. I want to know Yeshua as my Messiah, my sins to be cleansed away, and for me to be in a right place with you, Lord. And Father, I desire, most of all, to get my life in order, to be ordered, have my steps ordered before you, and to have my life centered and balanced in you. And in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, let me close with the Aaronic benediction, and then we'll go from there. Yivarachecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, yared Adonai panav elecha v'ihunecha, yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through the Prince of Peace, through Yeshua the Messiah. We all said, Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Everybody, please join us at Oneg. And you're exempt for bringing food this week only. And the bookstore will be open. And if you need prayer, please feel free to come forward. Amen.